Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
There's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being. This much we know.
I think that it is a good time for those who voted for the ban against gay marriage to sit and reflect and anticipate their great shame and the shame in their grandchildren's eyes if they continue that way.
I feel that this happened for a much bigger reason than baseball. I think God's put me now in a forum where I can be heard, and I hope that kids would not make the same mistake that I made.
To all of the gay and lesbian kids out there tonight who have been told that they are less than by their churches, no matter what anyone tells you, God does love you. Very soon, I promise you, you will have equal rights federally across this great nation of ours.
Did you see this headline in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch? Could St. Louis lose its Catholic hospitals under new federal abortion legislation? Of course, that federal abortion legislation really isn't new. It's the Freedom of Choice Act. President Obama has promised about a year ago that if he were elected, he would make one of his priorities signing the Freedom of Choice Act were it to reach his desk. Well, the Catholic bishops in the United States have said not so fast. They're deeply concerned about the future of Catholic hospitals under FOCA. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon. It's March the 6th. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be talking with Richard Dorflinger, Associate Director of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, for the first 10 minutes of the hour. Then Dr. William Hurlbut of Stanford University will join us to tell us about some reported breakthroughs in adult stem cell research. And we'll round off today's program, the last half hour, with Dr. Donald Calbreath. Is homosexuality genetic? He's from Whitmore University in Spokane, Washington. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Richard Dorflinger is Associate Director of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Richard, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, sir.
They say that they may close the Catholic hospitals in the U.S. if FOCA is signed into law. Are the bishops bluffing?
No, the bishops are not bluffing, but it actually is even worse than that may imply, because it may not take action by a bishop to close the hospitals. FOCA might create an environment in which the hospitals are starved out of existence without a bishop doing anything. The effect of this law is to knock down all kinds of regulations and laws regarding abortion that exist now that have been upheld by the Supreme Court under Roe v. Wade. And that includes conscience laws that allow Catholic hospitals and Catholic doctors and nurses to operate without discrimination. Those laws are very much threatened if the Freedom of Choice Act passes.
One of the spokespersons for the Conference of Catholic Bishops, Bishop Thomas Paparaki in Chicago, said it will not be sufficient to withdraw our sponsorship or to sell them to someone who would perform abortions. That would be a morally unacceptable cooperation in evil. How does that work for the bishops?
Well, the idea is, you know, if a law comes in and says, okay, there's no conscience protection anymore, and we have this non-discrimination policy. This is what FOCA says. It says no public program may discriminate between abortion and childbirth in doing public health programs. So in Medicaid, Medicare, if you do childbirth, you'll be called upon to give the same support to abortion. And the bishop was saying, it's not enough for us to say, okay, we can't run a hospital under those circumstances, so we'll sell it to you so you can do so. That would be facilitating the abortion as well. What the Catholic Health Association officials have said is they would not you know, their preference would be to say, we're not going to close down our hospitals and we're not going to do abortions. We're just going, if necessary, we will disobey the law. We will practice civil disobedience. And I think that's a very good and courageous and noble stand. The problem is that as they take that stand, they may find themselves increasingly kicked out of federal health programs without which no hospital can survive.
How many hospitals are we talking about nationwide?
About 1,000. I think there are over 600 Catholic hospitals, more than 1,000 Catholic-operated health facilities generally. It's been estimated that Catholic hospitals take care of 1/6 of the patients treated in hospitals every year. This is the largest private nonprofit health system in the world, obviously, and one that we feel is very close to the core of our mission to heal the sick as Jesus did. And it's not something we'll give up easily, but it's, for these hospitals to be edged out of the system would certainly be a major blow to a lot of people's access to health care. That's why we don't want this law infringing on it.
Do you think that President Obama, who may well be faced with the prospect of signing this bill, do you think he might be willing to see that an unintended consequence, or maybe even intended consequence, but an unintended consequence, giving him the benefit of the doubt of his willingness to sign this, might make it less palatable to his pen? Maybe he'd like Congress to go back and rework it in some way? Is there a way it can be reworked that would be workable
for
Catholic hospitals?
For this year, the bill hasn't even been introduced yet. They could change. We're basing our analysis on the wording that was in the bill last year. It has to be reintroduced. The sponsors say they'll do that soon. It's possible they'll make some kind of clarifications or exceptions to this. But in terms of the overall issue of conscience rights, of course, we're facing that even earlier before Freedom of Choice Act is considered through the regulatory process. Just today, in fact, only about an hour and a half ago, the Obama administration issued a regulation, a proposal to rescind the conscience rights regulations the Bush administration had issued near the end of last year to implement and enforce federal laws protecting conscience rights. And so they're allowing 30 days of public comment. I hope many Catholics and many pro-life people will write in urging him to leave the regulations alone. But even without Freedom of Choice Act itself, some of these issues are being pursued and in a bad way.
How do you respond to Nancy Keenan? She's president of NARAL, Pro-Choice America. She has been quoted recently in the news saying anti-choice groups know that there are not enough votes to move the Freedom of Choice Act, and yet they continue to engage in a divisive campaign demonizing FOCA to distract the public from their opposition to birth control and accurate sex education. Your response?
Well, it's pretty odd. If she says it's so extreme that even a majority pro-abortion Congress doesn't have any chance of passing it, and then criticizes us for demonizing this obviously extreme bill. The reality is, it is an extreme bill, but we also have the most pro-abortion Congress since at least 1993, which was the last time that the Freedom of Choice Act actually moved forward and seriously was at risk of being passed into law. At that time, we helped stop it by generating millions of postcards from Catholic parishioners to Congress to urge them not to do this. And, of course, that's what we've done again because we have just as bad a situation now as we did then. We hope we'll be successful, but NARAL has not ceased its support. If the sponsors have not said they're not going to introduce it, and the president has not ceased his pledge to happily sign it into law.
Two of the co-sponsors of FOCA in the House are actually Roman Catholic lawmakers. What do you make of Catholic lawmakers who support the Freedom of Choice Act?
Well, it's I can't say any better than the Holy Father has, which is that that especially Catholic politicians, we think all public figures, have a fundamental responsibility to protect life. This is the purpose of the law, is to affirm justice and to protect life, beginning with the weakest and most defenseless. And so legislators who don't understand that need to be reconsidering, talking to their pastors and so on. I'm not going to say anything about the state of their soul. That's between them and any spiritual direction they can get. But this is not just a political decision. This is a moral principle for the church, that it is the task of government to protect life at all stages, beginning with conception. And a legislator who's going the opposite way, trying to expand abortion and knock down pro-life laws, is obviously acting against one of the most fundamental moral principles the Catholic Church has.
Finally, with less than a minute, is this simply the first shot in a battle that will wage on the issue of abortion for the next, at least for the next 4 years?
Well, it's not even the first, because the president's already moved to reverse the Mexico City policy against funding pro-abortion organizations in foreign aid. Just today we have the rescinding of conscience rights regulations and an announcement that on Monday he's going to do an executive order to make taxpayers fund embryonic stem cell research requires destroying embryos. I'm afraid these debates are not going to go away but keep building, and we'll keep needing to have a response from concerned Catholics and others saying this is not what we voted for, and it's not what we want from our government.
Richard Dorflinger is Associate Director of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Thank you very much for being our guest. Please keep up the good work and give the bishops our best as they make an attempt to speak truth to power on this issue.
Thank you very much.
We have a link to this St. Louis Post-Dispatch story under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. When we come back, Dr. William Hurlbut will join us. Richard just mentioned President Obama promising to open the tap on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research again on Monday. Well, there's a reported breakthrough in adult stem cell research. Richard Hurlbut is consulting professor of Neuroscience Institute at Stanford University and a member of the President's Council on Bioethics. We'll be talking with him on the other side of the break. Then Donald Calbreth will be with us. We'll talk about a possible genetic origin of homosexuality. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Did they tear it out with talons of steel and give you a shot so that you wouldn't feel, and washed it away as if it wasn't real?
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Back by popular demand. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Stay tuned for Joy's story.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
When Joy found out she was pregnant, she was determined to get an abortion. She called clinics and worked hard to earn the $600 to pay for the procedure. Though she had an ultrasound at the clinic, they encouraged her not to look at the image on the screen. During a 24-hour waiting period, Joy was directed to a pro-life women's resource center just down the street by a woman who protested peacefully outside the clinic. Eventually, Joy would call her the first stepping stone in saving her unborn daughter's life. Listen next time for the rest of Joy's story.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sva-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.